105 Drive with Julian Clover.
My guest today, Neil McCartney, is chairman of the Independent Film Trust, old friend of the programme as well. Good to see you again, Neil.
Yeah, good to see you too.
And thanks for coming in. A couple of things to talk about, the first of which is the Raindance Film Festival, specifically some awards, which have a bit of a Cambridge connection going on. But I guess, first of all, if you could explain what the Raindance Film Festival is for those who aren't familiar with it.
Right, okay. Raindance is the largest festival of independent filmmaking in Europe. It's been running for just over 20 years. This year was the 21st edition. When I say the largest festival, I mean in terms of number of submissions and the number of films screened. This year we got about 4,300 submissions from around the world. Half of them features, half of them shorts. We screened 127 features and about more than 150 shorts from 51 countries. Runs over 10 days. We sold about 15,000 tickets and distributed 10,000 printed programmes. And we've never had a penny of public money.
That's not bad going, really, at lots of levels, really.
Well, yes, it's quite an achievement.
It's just out of interest. Is public money something you've sought for that, or has does not come your way?
Not
and you've
come
managed
our way.
For that?
We've got writer's cramp from the applications we've written, but never seems to come our way.
It's quite an interesting question, really, because it does beg the question as to whether or not organisations always do need the public money.
Well, yeah, there's always an issue about that. Of course, in our case, we've got by without it, but there are lots of things we could have done or done better if we had a little bit more money, like, for example, bringing more filmmakers from around the world to actually come and be present when their films are shown, do a Q&A. That costs money, and, you know, those kinds of things really make a festival a lot better because... Obviously, what main part of being at the festival is to watch the films, but it's also about meeting people and discussing ideas and hopefully encouraging new people to
which I guess arguably generate wealth and certainly creative wealth for Britain and, of course, from overseas and across Europe as well.
It's a great platform for films because last two or three years, generally speaking, about half of the features that we show, I mean, everything we show has to be at least a UK premiere. So no public screening before that. And about half of the features get picked up for commercial release. So it is a great platform for filmmakers. And, you know, a lot of journalists come, a lot of film distributors, a lot of sales agents. It does generate a lot of activity.
And some awards ran alongside the film festival, and you were using some Cambridge artists, I believe, in order to create those awards.
Yes. Raindance has had awards almost from the start. You know, there's an award for best British feature, there's an award for best British short, and so on. Up until now, what you get is that you get the prize, but you just get a certificate and a handshake and the glory. But no actual
photograph of the local
gong.
Paper, that
yeah,
sort of thing.
No actual physical gong. And one of the things we've been trying to do over the past few years is to build up the stature of these awards into something of a standalone event. It used to be that the closing night of the festival would be the awards, then the closing night film, then the closing night party, which is quite a lot to pack in. And it meant the awards really were over almost before they'd started. So we've now split it up so that on the last Saturday is the awards, the last Sunday is the closing night film, closing night party. And another thing we've started to do is to bring in relatively high-profile presenters to actually give the, you know, present the awards. The third thing this year is to actually have something physical to give to the winner that they can take home and put on their shelf and be proud of. And, of course, going back to what we previously discussed, there's no budget for this, there's no money, that's why there's never been any. So I came up with the idea of why don't we ask some creative artists to create original artworks, ask them to contribute them to us, and in return give them publicity through the various outlets to which we have access. I mentioned that we distribute 10,000 printed catalogues. Well, we could give everybody, and we did, a page you know, a full-page advert, but for free, as it were, as part of the deal.
So there's a nice little controversy going on, really, in terms of, you know, and I guess people who like independent cinema, they're probably the sort of people who also wander around art galleries from time to time as well.
Yes, yes, and yeah. And having had that thought, you know, because I'm aware that an awful lot of activity goes on in Cambridge, I thought, well, there's some artists I already know in Cambridge who I've met through various like networking and other types of events I attend. For example, there's the Cambridge Arts Network that Cambridge City Council runs, which is an excellent initiative, by the way. They have like networking evenings every month, or they can sometimes have lunchtime events, but they have networking events once a month, and they put out a very interesting newsletter that's got lots of information about events and jobs and funding opportunities. So I'd met some people through that. There's also the Williams Art Gallery, run by Chris Williams.
Of course, just at the other end of Grinder Street, of course, alongside Hot Numbers.
Brewery, yeah, next to Hot Numbers Cafe. So I thought, well, I already knew a certain number of people. So what I ended up with was actually six artists who, between them, contributed 10 awards. Four of them did two, the other two did one each. I mean, that's just the way things panned out. And the ones that did two ended up doing them sort of in the same medium, as it were. So, which again fitted with what I wanted, because I didn't want to come up with a let's try and design what this award should look like a BAFTA or an Oscar or whatever, because you know it's very hard to create something that's going to last for years.
So I'm assuming that instead of having one single design, you ended up with lots of different ones.
No, the original artworks. Mm. So the artists that we ended up using, the three from Cambridge, Lucas Morley, Susie Oksak, and Hannah Clarkson, another one who lives in Surrey, Peter Newsome, I met through the Cambridge Arts Network. Samantha Morton, who lives in the West Country, I met through Conrad Webb at the Windmill Art Studio Studio Group in Linton. And Giles Corby, who's based in London, I met through the Managerie Theatre Group. Which is
so really, yeah, I was going to say, even those ones who weren't from Cambridge still had a connection,
had a Cambridge connection
back again.
Yeah, and it turned out that I didn't need to go any further. I originally thought I'd have to cast my net rather wider. But Susie Oksak did two in Limestone, and they went to the best foreign feature and the best foreign short. Samantha Thornton did two in Bronze, and they went to the best British feature and the best British short. Giles Corby did two in kind of scrap metal, and they went to the best feature documentary and the best documentary short. The others, there's one, Best Animated Short, that was by, Hannah did that one. Best Debut Feature, that was the one Lucas Morley did. Actually, that was a really nice, it was a carved block of wood made out of black walnut from a tree that was originally planted by the parent of somebody, a jewellery shop for Cotton Heritage. There's a jewellery shop near Maudlin Bridge. So there's a connection
dear.
In there as well.
I don't go shopping for jewellery around Maudlin Bridge.
No, I choose other
stores.
That's where that came from. So that sort of, that sort of works, because I didn't want to either have like a single design or a single medium, because after all, it's a range of things. Next year we could do, you know, something different.
And did you manage to create some sort of showcase where people can have a look at what these awards looked like? Because obviously now the only people who look at them presumably are the lucky recipients and their close friends and family.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I mean, as when you do anything new, it takes an awful long time. And this process started 18 months ago.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, we only finally got the awards together sort of in the last few days, and there just wasn't time to organise something beforehand. But if we do it again, then we'd get them together much earlier, and we'd have, I think what we could do is, so for example, this year the Raindance Film Festival was run at the View Piccadilly Cinema, which is in Lower Regent Street, just close to Piccadilly Circus. As all the films were shown there, almost all of them. There would be places round there, like art galleries or hotels or whatever, who, when we sort of announce the the programme for the festival, which generally is kind of the September before we actually, you know, a couple of months before we run it, we can say, well, and the awards are there, you can go and have a look at them.
And sneak them in ahead of time. I've got a couple of minutes left, and the other thing I'd like to talk to you about is the movie Finding Family, which you've also been involved with to a certain extent.
Oh, yes, yes. But before we talk about that, I mentioned that we once talked about Williams Art Gallery and Hot Numbers, that there is one of the groups with which we as the IT work, the Cambridge Super 8 group, are doing an evening of screening films made on Super 8 cameras at Hot Numbers on the evening of Monday, the 23rd of December.
Okay, so just before Christmas, first Monday Christmas week. Yeah. Okay, that's definitely worth making a note of. So tell me about Finding Family.
Well, Finding Family is made by a Cambridge-based friend of mine called Ogi Tomic, who is originally from Bosnia. And he was born in Sarajevo and abandoned virtually at birth and suffered from a number of problems, lived through the civil wars of the former Yugoslavia, came to the UK, established himself as a filmmaker, is now a successful commercial filmmaker, and he decided to make a film about trying to find his family. And the film is his story about going back to Sarajevo to try and establish a connection with these people. And it turns out that his family are Serbs. So they were the same nationalities as the people who were bombing and shelling him in Sarajevo throughout more than 1,000 days of war.
I guess that's quite...
And it's about that emotional wrench.
Yes.
And he discovers that.
Very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there is. I was in Belgrade a few months back, and you can still sense those little bits of tension which are going on there, even now, just ever so slightly simmering in the background.
Yeah, well, it wasn't very long ago.
No, absolutely. You know, it's the last European war.
Yes, yes. I mean, I can remember. I used to go to that part of the world quite a lot, and going there in about 1990, and you know, people had said, you know, country gradually falling apart, and of course it was the, you know, the end of the Cold War, and so in a way the game that the Yugoslav government had played for years of sort of balancing between the West and the Soviet bloc,
there's no longer to keep the peace, as it
sort of falling apart, and I didn't really take it seriously until I was on a bus travelling through Croatia and I saw gun emplacements and machine guns and sandbags. Something is going to happen here. And
sure enough, it did. But it looks like it's made for an interesting film. Is there any chance this might be shown in Cambridge at some point?
Oh, yes, yes. It's the film was premiered at the Sarajevo Film Festival last August and got a standing ovation on both occasions it was shown. It was also shown at the View Cinema in Leicester Square. It was at a charity event, fundraising for a homeless charity. That event was attended by people like Kristen Scott Thomas, the actress. We'd like to show it in Cambridge, and I've approached a number of potential venues, and I think almost certainly we'll be showing it at least twice in the new year, between the new year and Easter. And probably at college venues I've provisional arrangements with Queen's and Magdalen to show them at both places.
Okay.
And I think it would get, you know, there's a lot of people who want to come and say it'd get a good audience, and to have the filmmaker there to talk about it, and he lives here.
No, absolutely. Interesting, all these personal stories. There's always, yes, it was always something about them. It just adds
Well, there's something about having the filmmaker there to actually talk about why did they do that? Why that shot rather than that? What drove them to it? What made them think, you know, that's really, you don't get from just going and seeing a film, but it can be a great experience in itself. But then actually getting into the mind of the director is what really adds value.
No, very much so. So sometime in the new year, and let us know as to when it's going to be shown, and then we can let everybody else know as well. Neil, thank you very much indeed for coming.
Pleasure.
Have a good Christmas.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
First person I wish that to you on there. I'll try and remember to do it to everybody now between then and now. That's Neil McCartney, Chairman of the Independent Film Trust.